This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program. On May the 15th of this year, the two National Teachers Associations, the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association, sponsored a joint rally on steps of the Capitol in Topeka, Kansas, commemorating the 50th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. Following are some remarks, first from Randy Weingarten, president of the 1.5 million American Federation of Teachers, followed by Reverend Reuben Eccles, pastor of the New Day Christian Church. After that, we're going to hear from David Mitchell with a global warming spot and then a commentary from Move to Amend.
As we walked from the historic museum, thank you, I saw a couple of other kids that I said I wanted to see if they could come back up here. Is Tyler still over there? And Sakari? And Isaac, I saw you guys. Come on up if you're still there. Come on up. And Lindsay, who you're going to hear from in a little while. I want you to look at these young men and women. These are who we are fighting for. Are who we are fighting for. Sorry, I am a New Yorker. Because whether it was 60 years ago in the fight against institutionalized racism, or whether it is the fight today to ensure that every child gets a quality public education, teachers are in the midst of that fight every single day and every single year for our children, all of our children. Whether it's New York or California or Wisconsin or Kansas, that is who we are, and we will not be silenced. And my friends, that's what they want to do to us. It's pretty obvious that in this country, we have a fight for what this country will be. Will it be a grand democracy that believes in shared economic prosperity and a growing middle class, with a public education system that strives not simply for universal access, but to ensure that every child not simply dreams their dreams, but achieves them. That every dream you would hear any children say, we find a way to unlock their minds and their hearts and their souls to help them get there. That is the promise of public education. That is why any of us that are on these steps today who became a school teacher or a school employee, a guidance counselor, or any of the other folks who work in schools, that's our heart connection with the jobs we do. Whether we're from, and I see a bunch of people from Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas City, Kansas. But this has been what has happened, both here in Kansas and in places across the country. There is a venal attack on the institutions that create a ladder of opportunity. And the attack goes something like this in terms of our institutions. the schools while relentlessly criticizing them. Excuse me, start the public schools. While relentlessly criticizing them, demonize the people who work every single day for children, marginalize the people, including the amazing parents and clergy members who are here with us today, who help with the fight back, all the while peddling private alternatives. Because if you don't criticize the public schools and starve them, then there will be no public outcry for the private alternatives that keep destabilizing the public schools and our communities. Now, you know that, and I know that. And you also know that there is a particular venalness here, because 60 years after Brown, the courts of Kansas saw the inequity being so great that they said, enough, Governor, enough, legislature. And just like 60 years ago, the Supreme Court saying separate is not equal, this year, the court here said, you must fund public schools. But rather than work with parents and educators to get music into schools for all who want and need them, to get guidance counselors into schools for all who want and need them, to get AP subjects into schools to help at-risk kids. What did the legislature do? In the middle of the night, without wanting anyone to know, what they did was even more venal, which is rather than listening to the people of Kansas and listening to the educators who are the conscience of the people of Kansas, they passed a bill that silences the very people who are trying to help our kids succeed. And rather than saying to those who actually have done well in this recession, and to those who actually have gotten out of this recession, rather than saying to them, give a little bit more so that our kids have a decent shot at life, they refuse to do that. They refuse to deal with their tax cuts. Instead, taking money from at-risk kids. How bad is that?
Real bad.
So I know you have an election in November. But let me say, as this New Yorker to Governor Brownback, you need to walk the walk, like we all do every single day in our classrooms. And rather than divide and demonize and discourage, if you really believe that demography is not destiny, we must fund our public schools and we must give children the ladder of education and economic opportunity. That is the moral imperative of Brown v. Board of Education, and that is why I am here today, shoulder to shoulder with all of you, to fight the fight for these wonderful children. Thank you.
I'll let that go on for a few minutes.
How about one more round of applause for Randy Weingarten, President, American Federation of Teachers. Reverend Reuben D. Eccles is the proud co-pastor of New Day Christian Church, founded on the campus of Wichita State University. With only 7 members, New Day has grown and played a prominent role in the spiritual and political life of the city of Wichita. Reverend Eccles received his Master's of Divinity degree from Payne Theological Seminary in Wilberforce, Ohio. In April of 2013, Mr. Eccles joined Sunflower Community Action as the Director of Special Projects. During this time at Sunflower, Mr. Eccles has been instrumental in facilitating the Energy Efficiency Program, which is a partnership between the EPA, Sierra Club, and Sunflower. Reverend Eccles, the stage is yours.
Show me what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like. Now I feel we got the church, man. Y'all too quiet for me. We here to make noise. Back in the day when I was on the street, we said, we here to turn this mother. So what kind of preacher is he? This is what democracy looks like. They call me the pastor of New Day Christian Church. That name was forged right here in Topeka 14 years ago. And part of my reasoning was that when I thought of Reverend Brown and standing up and rising to the challenge of the Topeka Board of Education and others and winning that great decision to undo segregation and overturn the separate but equal doctrine and states' rights, I believe they thought it was a new day. But now, through the rulings of our governor and our legislators that would deny the right to vote, deny teachers the right to speak out on behalf of children, deny funding to schools that need it the most, it seems like Groundhog Day, that we're going right back in circles. Amen? We are back to fighting the same battles that Reverend Brown and the NAACP and others fought some 60 years ago. But I've stopped by here to remind you that though we might have some difficult days ahead of us, Kansans all over this state, we're rising. Amen? Allies in cities across Kansas are joining for a statewide day of action that kicks off the campaign that brings power to the people, not the politicians. Kansas, we are rising. Teachers are rising and raising their voices to say, politicians, you will not and you cannot silence our voices. Labor is rising and raising their voices to proclaim decent and fair wages for a day's work. Amen? Women are rising and deciding that they're going to make the decisions over their bodies and not politicians. Black folk are rising and saying, we're not going to be allowed you to take away our schools and our neighborhoods anymore. We're rising together. Amen? Immigrants are rising and saying, see, safe, wait, we don't take, yes, we can. And we are immigrants, and this is a nation of immigrants. And we have come to work, we have come to take care of our families, and we are together in this struggle. Amen? Amen. And I want to tell you, the faith community is also rising. We've been silent for far too long. But we're rising to say that not one party, there's not one party that has the corner on righteousness and morality. The foundational scripture that Jesus says is the basis for every person of faith is that what Matthew in 25 and 35 and 36 was, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. I just don't believe that Jesus would not have provided health care for everybody. I just don't believe that Jesus wouldn't want every child to learn. I just don't believe that Jesus wouldn't have had helped every. Isn't that what he did? He crossed boundaries. He touched everybody. He lifted everybody. Kansas is rising. It may seem like long 4 years of nighttime in Kansas, but I can feel the breaking of day. Kansas are about to elect officials that will not look over us, but they're going to look out for us. We're going to let politicians that not will speak at us, but they're going to speak for us. There will not be politicians that will try to tear us apart, but bring us together. Kansas people, actually, we are rising together. Amen? 60 years ago, Reverend Brown's brought out a new day. Brownback is trying to take us back to the old days, but we're not going back. Amen? Too long we've been separated by race. We've been separated by all these issues. This issue has brought us together. And we're going to change Kansas, and we're going to change the world. It starts right here. Because Kansas has always been about opportunity. Kansas has always been about lifting up everybody. And this is the legacy of Kansas. And we won't turn back, and we won't be turned around. Kansas, we are rising. God bless you.
This is Global Warming Corner, brought to you by KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station. In early May 2014, the National Climate Assessment was issued by the U.S. Global Change Research Program. This program was established in 1989 by presidential initiative, the very Republican George H.W. Bush. Congress legally mandated in 1990 that a report should be issued every 4 years. The National Climate Assessment notes climate change was once considered an issue for a distant future, but it has moved firmly into the present. Summers are longer, hotter, with extended periods of unusual heat, lasting longer than any living American's memory. Winters are shorter and warmer, and rain comes in heavier downpours. In the West, hotter and drier weather, combined with earlier snowmelt, leads to longer wildfire seasons that burn more acreage. The probability of heat waves has increased, and the 2011-2012 droughts were 3 times the long-term average. In 2011, many locations in Oklahoma and Texas had 100 days over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. That's incredible. In 2011, they suffered $10 billion in direct agricultural loss. Heavy downpours have increased nationally, especially in the last 30 to 50 years. Since 1991, heavy precipitation events are significantly above average, with an increase of 30% in the Northeast, Midwest, and Upper Great Plains. Since the 1950s, winter storms have increased in severity and frequency and have shifted northward. In the U.S., temperatures have increased 1.3 to 1.9 degrees Fahrenheit since 1895, with most of the increase since 1970. The most recent decade was the nation's and the world's hottest on record, with 2012 being the hottest year on record in the contiguous United States. The next few decades will see a rise of 2 to 4 degrees Fahrenheit in the U.S. Globally, a 3 to 5 degree Fahrenheit increase can be expected by 2100, even given significant reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. The business-as-usual scenario will result in 5 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit increase by 2100. Remember, governments worldwide regard 2 degrees centigrade, or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, as the maximum safe limit. U.S. agriculture will be affected by extreme weather events, as well as by pests and pathogens. Crops and livestock will be rendered increasingly vulnerable, leading to food security issues in the United States. This climate assessment indicates there are multiple lines of independent evidence that demonstrate the rapid warming of the past half century is due primarily to human activities. These activities are the burning of fossil fuels, forest clearing, and some agricultural practices. These conclusions mirror those of all the national academies worldwide, the United Nations International Panel on Climate Change, the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, to name a few. The May 16th through 18th edition of USA Today leads with the headline, Drought Turns California into a Tinderbox. In addition to the very high number of wildfires besieging the state, California's fruit and vegetable crops are threatened. This could affect the prices of these valuable foods nationwide. The California drought is identified as part of an entrenched withering drought throughout the Southwest. Texas has been in drought since October of 2010. In 2011, Texas ranchers were forced to sell 660,000 cattle, and beef prices have risen to all-time highs. Events such as these create multiple cascading ripple effects, economic and otherwise, throughout our society. On April 30, 2014, NBC News reported life-threatening floods in the Florida Panhandle, with Pensacola getting more than 2 feet of rain in 26 hours. In comparison, in 2004, Hurricane Ivan released about 5 inches of rain, which was duplicated in a single hour in Pensacola. Forecasters figured that the rain in Pensacola set a record, but were unsure due to the National Service weather station damaged by a lightning strike. Turning to Europe, on May 19, 2014, CNN reported epic flooding in the Balkans. Meteorologists reported the worst flooding in Serbia in 120 years of record-keeping. Bosnia's foreign affairs minister reported at least 2,000 landslides, which are, quote, absolutely destroying the country, unquote. On the same day, Climate Progress reported that one-third of Bosnia is essentially a muddy lake, with 1 million people affected. 3 months of rain fell in 3 days. The Serbian prime minister stated, quote, what happened to us happens not once in 100 years, but once in 1,000 years. Events like these, as well as others, are happening all over the world with increasing frequency and severity, harbingers of things to come. It is time we collectively started connecting the dots. Until next time, this is Dave Mitchell with Global Warming Corner.
If you love political advertisements, you are about to get your fill of them. We here in the Kansas City area will see far more political ads this year than in the presidential election year of 2012. This will be a midterm election when every state is a swing state. Earlier this month, David Jolly won a special election to replace the late Bill Young in Florida's 13th District. In 33 years, Young had spent a total of $6.7 million on 17 campaigns. Jolly and challenger Alex Sink spent almost twice that in 3 months to win a seat that will be up for grabs again this November. About $10 million came from outside sources. Many of those, mostly super PACs, are clambering over one another to take credit. Otherwise, we would have no idea who they were. We can't even know which races and candidates we'll be hearing about most this fall. A state house candidate who's nearly anonymous today can be vaulted into contention if someone even more anonymous plunks down a $50,000 ad by tomorrow. This so-called benefactor could be from another state, another region, even another country. The American dollar spends the same everywhere. About 90% of political ads are negative because attack ads work. And every 2 years, when a new hailstorm of negativity barrages the American people from all sides, more and more reasonable, thoughtful people want nothing more to do with politics except to get away from it. But turn off the TV and your phone will ring with a push-pull, a bogus question about an opposing candidate masquerading as scientific research, as happened in 2000 when thousands of South Carolinians were asked, would you be more or less likely to vote for John McCain if you knew he had fathered an illegitimate black child? You'll also get anonymous political spam text messages, like the ones in 2012 saying Obama will use taxpayer money to fund abortions. Spending for online political advertising rose from about $30 million in 2008 to more than $300 million in 2012. And it's not only that we'll have to sit through those annoying pre-roll ads before watching videos online. Giant internet companies are collecting so much data on each of us and selling it through third parties to politicians who match the data with digitized voter rolls. A single candidate can then craft 1,000 different messages saying 1,000 different things and tailor them perfectly to voters across the political spectrum, each of whom is micro-targeted with a different set of ads that follow each individual from website to website. So if you love political advertising, put on a bib. While the founders of our country considered free speech our first and foremost right, the Supreme Court of John Roberts places paid speech above all else, and the money will be flowing this fall. Visit our website, kcmovetoamend.org, for more information.
The bum on the rods is hunted down as the enemy of all mankind. But the bum on the plush is driven to his club, fetid, wined, and dined. Oh, those who curse the bum on the rods as the essence of all that's bad, greet the other with a winning smile and extend him a hand so glad. Oh, the bum on the rods is a social flea who gets an occasional bite, but the bum on the plush is a social leech, blood-sucking day and night. Oh, the bum on the rods is a load so light his weight we scarcely feel. But it takes the labor of a dozen men to furnish the other bum a meal. As long as you sanction the bum on the plush, the other will always be there. But if you get rid of the bum on the plush, the other will disappear. So make an intelligent, organized kick. Get rid of the weights that crush. Don't worry about the bum on the rods. Get rid of that bum on the plush.
This is Linda Neville, and I'm with MoveOn.org. A few of us are here tonight representing the Johnson County, Kansas Council of National MoveOn.org. In the past year or so, we have met monthly to organize and react to the political news of the day, sometimes joining in the national events and sometimes pursuing local issues. Unlike some of the organizations here tonight, we are not focused on one issue, but we are organized to take advantage of a variety of issues. We are sponsoring bi-monthly information sessions with speakers knowledgeable in various issues. Recently, our local chapter of Move On hosted a rally in Topeka, which brought together 13 progressive organizations and speakers to present an alternative view of the state of Kansas, rather than the one presented by Governor Brownback. Some of us just got back from this weekend's D.C. rally regarding climate change. Our goal is to increase our numbers and to work with other groups, inviting them to our events and also supporting their events. We believe we need to connect with one another to be more effective, to make our voices heard nationally, statewide, and locally.
Hi there, I'm Jane Stover for PeaceWorks Kansas City. We're for peace globally, nationally, locally. We provide Peace Scholar Awards to local college students. We sponsor conflict resolution sessions for youth in the Urban Ranger Corps in Kansas City. We speak up for freedom for whistleblowers like Bradley Manning. We oppose predator drones that are killing people in Pakistan and Afghanistan. We seek a nuclear weapon-free world. Online, we're at peaceworkskc.org. Our phone number is 816-561-1181.
The Kansas City Atheist Coalition is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the creation of a positive, non-believing community through works of philanthropy, activism, and education. We seek to provide a means for non-believers in the Kansas City area who often feel isolated and alone in their lack of belief to find other like-minded individuals and demonstrate that it is possible to be good without a God. The Kansas City Atheist Coalition also aligns itself with sympathetic organizations, regardless of theistic belief, to promote the greater good, such as science education, LGBT equality, sexual equality, and freedom of expression, ultimately seeking to create a society in which all people have an equal and fair chance at quality education and personal happiness.
You have been listening to Radioactive Magazine, a locally produced broadcast spotlighting social and political activists in our community. If you'd like more information or like to comment on this program, call Bill Claus at 816-994-7869.